All right. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf nun in Zvachim. We continue. I mentioned the beginning of the fifth perek. Wow, this is great. We get to learn about perek Eizu Mekalman, which is what we say in the morning right before Pesukah Dezimra. And also, it just gives us a great opportunity to go through the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nedreshes Bahem. And throughout this perek, the fifth perek, so it discovers a lot of the limudim that we talk about during the Yud Gimel Midos. In fact, yesterday we spent a good part of yesterday discussing Davar Chadash, right? When the Torah comes and teaches us a novel ruling, and we gave a definition yesterday of what Davar Chadash was, and that was great. You have to be so careful about what you ask for, because today, throughout the entire day today, we're going to be doing Hekesh Gezera Shava, Binyan Av, and Kal V'chomer. Right? And what the Gemara is going to do, and it's going to start right now, meaning we're at a perfect starting point in the Gemara, because it really is the beginning of a sugya, is that the Gemara was going to want to know, can I make jumps? You remember yesterday we talked about making a double jump with a Hekesh? We went Hekesh, Hekesh, and the question was, can we do it? And the answer is, we can't. Right? That's what the Gemara said yesterday. We can't go Hekesh, Hekesh. And now the Gemara is going to wonder, let's see, we're going to now talk about Hekesh, Gzera, Shava, Kal V'chomer, Binyan Av, and we're going to see if I can do a double jump with any one of the permutations. Now, if you remember your statistics, you'll know that there are going to be 16 permutations. There are four different methods of darshaning. There are more than four, by the way. There's a lot more than four. But we're going to be focusing on four different methods of darshaning, right? Specifically these four, because these are the four that takes us from point A to point B. Right? There are other methods of darshaning, klal uprat, prat uklal. But that doesn't get you from point A to point B. That just tells you how to define things. Right? Klal and prat is all about how to define things. We're not into that right now. We want to go from point A to point B, and can I go from A to B to C? And the Gemara now is going to want to know, can I do that through Hekesh? Can I then from Hekesh go Hekesh to Hekesh, Hekesh to Gzera Shava, Hekesh to Kal V'chomer, Hekesh to Binyan Av? Okay? And then the Gemara is going to say, good. Now I wonder if I can go from Kal V'chomer to Kal V'chomer, from Kal V'chomer to Binyan Av. Right? Hopefully you get the point. And the Gemara is going to do that for all of today and half of tomorrow. Okay, now if I don't know what's going to bring you back tomorrow, other than the introduction I just gave you, nothing will. Okay, these are really the nuts and bolts of Gemara. Right. Admittedly, this is going to sound extraordinarily technical today. It is very technical today. It's really nuts and bolts. Now, just one other umbrella point before we start with the Gemara today, and that is this entire discussion of the Gemara is limited to kachim. Meaning, in the other arenas of halacha, it would seem that a double jump is fine. We can go step A to step B, step B to step C, and every method work, I don't know. I'm not a resident expert of this type of methodology. But it will be very clear from the Gemara, and Rashi says it pretty straightforward somewhere in Daf Nun, and hopefully later this morning I'll find it, that this entire discussion of doing your double jump is limited only to the world of Kachim. Now, again, by Kachim, as I mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta, Kachim is much more systematic and Kachim is much more organized. You already see it from the Torah. The Torah goes out of its way to tell you each karban, how to do each karban. We have a rule that we've seen throughout the Gemara that even if the Torah says something in the world of Kachim, that's not enough. It has to say it and repeat it. So when it comes to Kachim, when it comes to the world of Kachim, the Torah is much more expressive, right? Much more articulate than in other areas of halacha where the Torah makes a reference, an allusion, a hint, and from there we develop all these halachas based on halacha Moshe Mishina, based on how to darshan. But in the world of Kachim, Kachim is much more spelled out in the Torah. And so with that in mind, with that general idea in mind, so let's get underway. If you look, today I'm going to take us to the middle of Nun Amud Beis, God willing. Okay, and tomorrow we cut ourselves a little bit of a break. If you look at Nun Aleph Amud Beis, it's one of those dapim. One of those dapim where Tosos has a point to make, and you know he takes his time making his point, which is good for us in the Daf Yomi world, because so Nun Aleph Amud Beis, three lines of Gemara. All right, good. So just keep that in mind. All this discussion, by the way, the 16 different permutations that we're about to start right now, all this will end on Nun Aleph. Okay? So stick with me. I'll try to do as good a job as I can. right? I'm limited, but we will hopefully get through all of this. So, Davar Halamin Behekesh and Chozer Malamin Behekesh. Okay, good. So let's start with number one. So we're going to start with Hekesh. Now, let's make sure that we all are working on the same definitions. Hekesh is when the Torah makes a comparison, right? For example, we just dealt with one, a Chatzos and an Ola. We know the Torah says an Ola has to be done in the north. Okay? And the Torah says a Chatzos is like an Ola. Hekesh. Hekesh, the word Hekesh itself just simply means comparison. When the Torah makes comparison between one and another, right? Hekesh actually means they're close to one another. Lakish, right? They're right up beside one another. So.
Why is it a Hekesh? Why is it this?
Huh?
I wouldn't even call it Hekesh in this case because it's straightforward. It tells it to do it like this.
Yeah, but the Torah. What's you're that? Right, but the Torah doesn't say by Chatzos do it in the north.
It says do it like the Ola.
So good, so it's a Hekesh.
What's the Hekesh? Why is it a
Hekesh? That's a Hekesh.
It's more like, it's not that definite, open.
Understood,
it's so
understood.
Clear that,
it is very clear, but it's a Hekesh.
Okay.
Okay, again, I told you, I'm limited. I'm limited in my... Okay, Davar Alamed Behekesh and Chozer Alamed Behekesh. So this already, it's an easy starting point because we've already talked about this yesterday. Can I go from Hekesh to Hekesh? Now, if you remember yesterday's discussion, the answer was no. Absolutely no. I can't, in the world of Kachem, go learn out from one Hekesh to another Hekesh. Now, if you remember yesterday, it was a little tricky because where did that come from? So it came from two possible sources. Rava gave a source for this halacha, and Ravina gave a source for this halacha. Now either one of them is fine. So the Gemara then goes on to say, Imid Ravi, Imid Ravina. Good. So either you're going to learn out from Rava, or you're going to learn out from Ravina. Either way, the point is, you can't go from Hekesh to Hekesh. Okay. That's number one. Davar halame behekesh, mayu shalame begzer shava. How about this? How about going from Hekesh to Gzer shava? Meaning establishing one halacha with a Hekesh, and then extending it to the next halacha via Gzer shava. Now, again, let's just make sure that we're all on the same page. Gzer shava, it's a hyperlink. I can't even begin to tell you how great an analogy that is. The more I think about it, the more I realize it's fantastic. Okay, pre-computer age, or for those people who are not with the computers, right? Right? What does that mean exactly? It means that the Torah says a word over here, the Torah says a word over there, and through, now Gzereshava, none of us have the right to make up. We can't make up a Gzereshava, right. But through a tradition, through a Masorah, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, so we have a tradition that these two are now linked through the process of Gzereshava. The classic example that is given by everybody, that's about to be given by me, is how do you marry a woman? How do you mekadesh a woman? So one of the three methods of kiddushin is through kesef, it's through money. The Torah never says it. The Torah never says you should mekadesh a woman through money. But the Torah says that the vayikach, kiikach ish es isha, when a man takes a woman. And the Torah says in terms of the purchasing of a land, specifically by Avram Avinu, right, es asadakach mimeni. So you have the two words, kicha. We have Gzereshava, which flags both of the words, which tells that these words are connected, just like I purchase property through money, so too I can purchase a woman or marry a woman through money. Good. All right, so that's Gzereshava. Now, just as a general point, Gzereshava is strong. Okay? And intuitively, if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. If we have a tradition that these two words are linked, so and they're hyperlinked, and that means that I go from one and it just teleports me, right, to the other place, and that's based on a tradition that's strong. Okay, so one of the takeaway points from today is that you'll see, relatively speaking, between Hekesh, Gzereshava, Binyanav, Kavachomer, you're going to see Gzereshava strong. Okay, that's one of the things you certainly walk away from this Gemara feeling. So Tashma, so the Gemara now wants to know. So again,
what is a Hekesh stronger? Because
right, it's so interesting.
It doesn't mean anything.
Right,
tell me. It's
so
logical. No, that
like, no, no.
For the example you gave.
Right. That's not. Wait a second. By a Hekesh, if the Torah would not say do the Chatzos like the Ola, so then how am I supposed to?
No, thank you. It said it. That's a Hekesh.
I mean, no, but that is a Hekesh.
It's got to be stronger.
It's interesting. Because, Hekesh, from this whole discussion, you're going to walk away realizing Hekesh is not as strong. Okay? It's one of the things that... Tashma. So again, now we want to go from Hekesh and then go from Hekesh via Gzeir Shava. So Tashma Rabbi Nasim and Avtuma Thomer Minan Lepricha Bebegadim Shehi Tahora. Okay, so we're going to work in the area of Negayim of Tzaraas for a couple of minutes. Now, mind you, right, you should be thinking to yourself right now, didn't he say, meaning self-reference to me, didn't he say that this is only a discussion about Kachim? And what are we doing now, spending the next five lines of Gemara talking about Tzaraas and Negayim? And the Gemara is going to raise that point in just a moment. Meaning the Gemara will say, in just after going through this exercise, the Gemara is going to say, wait a second, that's Tzaraas. We're not dealing with Negayim right now. That's Taharos. This entire discussion is limited to Kachim. But again, I made the point already because I went through the Gemara. Okay, so we're gonna learn it via discovery. The Gemara says, Minan Lepricha Begadim Shi Tahara. Now, we know that if you have Tzaraas over your entire body, counterintuitively, you're Tahor. You're Tahor. You are a little spot of Tzaraas on your skin, and not a little spot, it has to be the size of a gris. But if you have a spot of Tzaraas on your skin or any part of your body, so your tummy, your Mitzora. However, if your whole body from head to toe is filled with Tzaraas, you are Tahor. Okay, Gzeira Sakasov. Right, you want me to try to explain this? Okay, now we know that Tzaraas affects the person, we know Tzaraas also affects the clothing. If there is a spot on your clothing of Tzaraas, so your Beged is going to be Tameh. What if your entire Beged is filled with Tzaraas? Right, top to bottom, the entire Beged is filled with Tzaraas, Tahor. Now the Torah doesn't say that. You go through the Parshios of Tazria Mitzora. The Torah doesn't say that. How do we know that? Ne'emar karachas ve'gabachas be'begadim, and ne'emar karachas ve'gabachas ba'adam. Ma'alahalan, parach be'kulan tahor, afkan, parach be'kulan tahor. Okay, so we have the terminology of karachas ve'gabachas by beged. We have it by the person, just like we know by the person it's tahor, so too we know that the beged is tahor. Okay, now, that is gzer shava. Okay, good. V'hasa menalan. Now, if you have a head full of tzaraas, or a beard full of tzaraas, how do you know that you are going to be tahor? Meaning not a part of your head, not a part of your beard, but your entire head and your entire beard. Now that is learned through a hekesh. Meirosho ve'ad raglav. Ve'itkish rosho l'regel. We have a hekesh between head and foot. Ma lahalan kulon hafach lavan parach bekulo tahor. Avkan kulo hafach lavan parach bekulo tahor. Just like when your entire body develops tzaraas, you're going to be tahor. So too, not just your entire body, but an entire part of your body, specifically your head. And Rashi goes through over here, and again, this is not our arena right now, and I am not an expert on this at all. But Rashi goes through over here, the laws of tzaraas for the head are different than the laws of the tzaraas for the body. The discoloration is different, the hair coloring is different. Okay, again, it's not our arena right now. For now, just realize that there's a hekesh that teaches us that just like when your entire body is menuga, has tzaraas over it, your tahor, same thing is true with your head. If your entire head has tzaraas, you're going to be tahor. That's derived through a hekesh. So where are we going now? We're going through hekesh, then to gzer shava. Gzer shava takes us from Adam to Beged. Okay? And what do we see over here? You could do it. You can go hekesh to gzer shava. Amar Rav Yochanan b'chol Torah kula lemeidim laman milaman. So Rav Yochanan says, that's great. I'm happy. But that's called a Torah kula. That's the rest of Torah. We're not talking about the rest of Torah. Today we're talking about Kachim. Chutz min HaKashim she'ein danim laman milaman. De'im kein, and Rav Yochanan makes his argument. How do I know? How do I know that that's accurate, that you can't do that in the world of Kachim? Because Yom HaTzfonu Ba'asham v'teisa b'gzer shava. De'kachim kachim echatas. Because look, all I would need is the Torah to say Safon by Asham, and then I would have been on easy street, because then I could learn it through Gzeir Shava. Meanwhile, however, you can't do that because you can't go from Hekesh to Gzeir Shava. So you see over here that you don't do your typical double jump in the world of Kachim. So the Gemara's point is essentially what we started off with earlier this morning. You can do that. You can do these types of things in other arenas of halacha. You're in Taros, you can do it. You're by Tzaras, you could do it. You can go Hekesh Gezeres Shava. But when you're in the world of Kachim, we are limited. So in our limited world of Kachim, the Gemara now wants to know, can I do that? So I already know I can't go Hekesh to Hekesh. Can I go Hekesh to Gezeres Shava? So the Gemara says, the Gemara kind of leaves it unresolved. Now just let me just finish up this last point of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, well, look, even in the world of Gezeres Shava, Chatas and Ashram are not the same. So the Gemara says, Kachi Kachim Yisterik Siva. So the Gemara says, that doesn't bother me. You're right. Of course, Chatas and Ashram are not the same. Chatas serves as a kapara for Yisuri Kares. Ashram does not serve as a kapara for Yisuri Kares. You're right about that point, but it's Gezeres Shava. And the Gemara says, not only is it Gezeres Shava, but it's Gezeres Shava Mufne. The Gemara doesn't use that terminology. Rashi does. Mufne means that the word Kachi Kachim is used in Ashram. It's used in Chatas. Both superfluous. Both of them are extra and unnecessary. So that comes and teaches us that there's a Gezeres Shava between the two. I would have done it. I would have learned out a Hekesh to a Gezeres Shava in that arena. But again, though, in terms of the broader question of, can I go Hekesh to Gezeres Shava? The Gemara kind of leaves it unresolved. Davar halame mehekesh chozem lame bekav chomer. Okay, how about this? Okay, so now, right, following, so far we've discussed Hekesh, the Gemara said no. Hekesh to Gezeres Shava, Gemara says maybe. Maybe. Hekesh to kav chomer. So the Gemara says yes. Kav chomer is going to be, as its name indicates, it's going to be strong. Kav chomer is really strong. Now, it's interesting because as I discussed earlier this morning, right, it's so hard to really get a handle on all this. Gezeres Shava, as I mentioned earlier, that's a tradition. That's ain adam dan Gezeres Shava ba'atzmo. You don't make up a Gezeres Shava. You have to have a tradition for that. Kav chomer, interestingly enough, that we could do. We have the right. A kav chomer is a logical argument. As long as it's solid logic, you can do it. You can make up kav chomers. Right, I don't know if we're going to be making up kav chomer, any new kav chomers these days. The Gemara pretty much, you know, worked our way through kav chomers, but kav chomer that we could do, we could do on our own. And meanwhile, we're going to see throughout this discussion today, kav chomer is really strong. Kav chomer can layer on top of other limudim. I would say, I guess we'll have to see at the end of the discussion today, almost all the time.
Kav chomer is a syllogism.
If I knew what that meant, we would be talking the same language. It's an argument. It's a logical argument. No, that's not kav chomer. Cloud part of cloud is a definition. It helps us define something. Kav chomer is creating an argument. If it's true over here by the lighter halacha, it's certainly going to be true over here by the more strict halacha. Okay, that kav chomer, or the other way around. So, huh?
I'm
saying I corrected myself. It's the other way around. If it's true by here, which is more strict, it's going to be true by here, which is lighter. Okay, so fine. So that's so kav chomer again. Just for reasons which I don't fully understand yet, kav chomer is strong. You're going to layer it on top of almost anything. So the Gemara says, "Davar halame mehekesh chozem halame bekav chomer midatan debei Rav Yishmael." Right, and where did you see this? Oh, you saw this on Daf Mem Aleph. Now, when I was preparing yesterday, I'm like, really? We saw this on Back of Mem Aleph, and I felt terrible because I didn't remember, right? I'm fully admitting. But yes, that's correct. We learned in a Brice of Rabbi Shmuel. I went back, I went over it. We learned through a Brice of Rabbi Shmuel. He developed a Kav Chomer based on a Hekesh, based off of the Hekesh. So, see the Gemara Back of Mem Aleph. It's by Par Helam Dover, it's by the Par Goen Gadol. We did it. Okay, so the fact that we did it means it's done. Okay. Davar halame behekesh mai shalame bebinyanav. And we're up to our last one of Hekesh. Okay, so this is, we're finishing up round one. So, Davar halame behekesh mai shalame bebinyanav. Can I go Hekesh binyanav? Now again, let's do this one more time today. Binyanav, what's that? A binyanav is a precedent. Right? Lawyers in the room, you know, you speak this language, right? If we say something over here, and this case is similar to that case, So we've established a precedent. And so, based on the precedent, we're going to make an argument. Well, if it's true over here, it's going to be true over here. It's not necessarily a logical argument as much as it is, look, the two are similar, and we said it over here, we're going to say it over here as well. Binyan Av, right? We go through these a lot. Binyan Av is going to be weak, right? I'm saying this based on what we're going to see over the course of this morning. Binyan Av, you're going to see layers almost on nothing. Okay, Binyan Av you can create in of itself, but as an extension of another limud, almost never works. Okay, so the Binyan Av category is going to be a weak category. So the Gemara's question over here is, can I go hekish to Binyan Av? So I'm Rav Yirmi Alo Lichtov Tzfona Ba'ashav, it has to be Binyan Av. So the Gemara says, seems that way, because look, here's what we could have done. We could have not written the north requirement by Asham, and we could have generated it through a Binyan Av. Mechatas from Chatas. Now remember, how do we know Chatas has to be shecht in the north? Hekesh. Hekesh. The Torah says, I shecht the Chatas the same place where I shecht the Ola. So Chatas northbound is Hekesh. And then what I could have done is said like this. I shecht the Chatas in the north, Asham, just like the Chatas. And that would have been developing a Binyan Av based off of a Hekesh. And the Gemara says we could have done that, and the Torah avoided it by writing Tzafon by the Asham. Oh, it must be because it wouldn't have worked, right? So lamai hilchas akasve lav lemember the davar lamai behekesh in chozer malamai bebinyanav. It must be that the Torah went out of its way to write north by the Asham, because the Torah is essentially telling us you couldn't have gone via the route of hekesh to binyanav. Okay. Just give me a moment. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Binyan Av? Why didn't you go Binyan Av from Ola to the Asham? Now, the Torah says straight out by Ola that's done in the north. So why don't you make a Binyan Av over there? So my time lo asim misham deikal mefrach. Ma lo shekein kalil. Because Binyan Av doesn't work. Any distinction that we can make between the two breaks your Binyan Av. So the Gemara says, look, Ola is totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Asham is eaten by the Kohanim. They're not the same. I can't create a Binyan Av. So the Gemara says, I could have broken the Binyan Av from Chatas to Asham as well. Because Chatas is mechaper for a Issur Kares. Asham is not mechaper for an Issur Kares. I don't have a real Binyan Av. So the Gemara says, so really your line of thinking, your line of reasoning is not correct. Even if I did have the Hekesh, and even if the Torah did tell me about Chatas that it's done in the north, I still don't have a Binyan Av, because the Binyan Av would have been broken by this question. Okay, now, so on the question of going from Hekesh to the next step of Binyan Av, the Gemara is kind of inconclusive. Sounds like a no, but the Gemara is kind of inconclusive. Now, this next couple lines of Gemara, Rashi tells us that these are kind of just thrown in here, not really connected to our previous discussion. Gemara is going to take us on a small little tangent. Okay. We have now the halacha. We have three kachi kachim. Ola, Chatas, Asham. Those are your three kachi kachim. On all three locations, the Torah says that it has to be done in the north. The Torah says straight out. Asham, the Torah says straight out. Chatas, comparative. The Torah says the Chatas, same place as the Ola. Chana mechanda lo asya taisi chana mitarta. If I would have tried to do it through a Binyan Av, if I would have, can't I generate one from two? Right, we always talk about the conservation of Torah. Torah is very conservative in terms of the number of words that it uses. And why not just tell us in two of the three places that it has to be done in the north, and the third will come along for the ride. Right? This is Binyan Av Mishnei Ksuvim. Learning a Binyan Av from two different sources. So the Gemara says here it just won't work. Chatas, Ola, and Asham, no combination of the three, even combination of the two, can generate the third. So how about this? How about just telling me my north requirement by Chatas and Asham? Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, he can't, because Chatas and Asham are both a Mechaper. Ola is not a mechaper. Now, yes, it's true. At the end of the first parak, we talked about how an ola does serve as a form of kapara for your mitzvah asay, for your bittul asay. We did say that earlier, but the ola is not. Its main function is not a kapara. Okay. How about leaving out chata? So, in other words, telling me the halacha by ola and asham. So, malahanach shekein zecharim. No good. Ola and asham come from male animals. Chatas comes from female. No good. Not comparable. Lo nichta v'asham v'teisi mehanach. How about ola and chatas? Malahanach shekein yeshtam b'tzibor. No. Ola and chatas both exist as a communal offering. Ola, every single day. Right? Your carbon tamid is an ola. Right? Plus all the yom tovim where you bring olas as well. And chatas, Yom Kippur, Rosh Chodesh, communal chatas. Asham, never. There's never a communal asham. Fine. So fine. So that's rejected. So and ends the little tangent of the Gemara. So we cannot generate two out of the three, because even with every permutation of two, they are uniquely different than the third.
So if the rule is, if there's any difference, it will not be.
Right. When it comes to binyanav, if I can establish any difference whatsoever, it breaks the binyanav. So binyanav is a weak link, right? If I may say that. I'm talking all in relative terms. Okay? Comparable to gzeirah shavah, comparable to kavah chomer. Right? If we were like the BCS, by the way, we would try to seed. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. So we would try to seed the four limudim, you know, in which one would get a one seed, which one would get a two seed. Okay. Never mind. Okay. Davar halame b'gzer shava. Okay, so that ends round one. So round one, we went from hekesh to hekesh, hekesh to gzer shava, hekesh to kavachomer, hekesh to binyanav. Okay? The only one that really came out strong was gzer shava. No. Gzereshava and Kavachomer. Kavachomer came out strong also.
Very strong.
Right, Kavachomer came out strong. Okay, round two. Davar halame b'gzereshava. So we're going to start now with first establishing a gzereshava and then going from there. Okay, so our first step is gzereshava. Now we're going to go through again every permutation. Gzereshava to Hekesh, gzereshava to gzereshava, gzereshava to Binyanav, gzereshava to Kavachomer. Yeah, so we're four rounds today. We're not going to get through all four rounds today, right? So, davar halame b'gzereshava, maushi lame behekesh. So, can I go gzereshava to hekesh? So, amar rapapa v'zos torah zevach hashlamim. So, rapapa says, sure you can, because look, the halacha goes like this: zos torah zevach hashlamim im al toda. The Torah makes a comparison between Shlamim and Toda. Toda is really a subcategory of Shlamim, with its own halachas, but it's really a subcategory of Shlamim. Lamanu l'Toda Shabbat min ha-Maiser. Now, here's what the halacha is telling us. I can take my Maiser Sheni up to Yerushalayim and purchase a carbon Toda with it. Right? In the accounting world, this is double dipping. Right? I am taking Maaser Sheni money, which is really already money that I took off, right? That was my 10% that I took off in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of my Shemitah cycle. I'm supposed to take that, well, I'm not supposed to take off money. I'm supposed to take off produce. I transferred it to money, and I'm supposed to go to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim, not the money, but food I purchased with that money. We just talked about it yesterday. Now, in the world of Maaser Sheni, I could take that money, which already has some sort of Kedusha to it, and purchase the carbon toda, and offer the carbon toda. So I could take assigned money, designated money, money that has some sort of kedusha, and use it to purchase the carbon toda. Now, usually, we'll talk more about this throughout Kachim, usually you can't do that. You can't take money with kedusha and purchase a carbon. Usually it has to be ba min achulin. It has to come from unconsecrated, undesignated monies, and here I can do it. Okay, it's a special halach of Maaser Sheni that I could do that. Ima toda lamanu shabam min ha-Maaser. Now, I know I can take my Maaser Sheni money and purchase shlamim. The fact that the Torah tells us that toda is a form of shlamim, The Torah compares Toda to Shlamim. You see where we're going. The Torah compares Toda to Shlamim, just like I can buy Maaser Sheni with, I can buy Shlamim with Maaser Sheni money. I can also buy a Toda with Maaser Sheni money. Okay. So Imal Toda Amana LaTorah Shabam and a Maaser. Midashkechan Shlamim Daasu Mi Maaser. Shlamim Gufayim Mi Nalan. Now, how do I know that I could buy Shlamim with Maaser Sheni money? Tichsiv Sham Sham. So good. So what you have over here is you have established a Gzereshava that tells me, I'm not going to go through the Gzereshava right now. We're going to deal much more conceptually. I have a Gzereshava that tells me that I can buy Shlamim with Maaser Sheni money. I have the Torah comparing a Toda to a Shlamim. So I am now establishing that I can learn a halacha of Hekesh after having established it through Gzera Shava. Good. Good. So this is, it sounds fantastic. Amale Marzutra Breda Rav Mari La Ravina Maiser Dagan Chulin Ba'amahu. So it doesn't work over here. Meaning, I don't disagree with anything you said, but where are you starting from? You're starting from Maiser Sheni. Maiser Sheni has a little bit of kedusha to it. You can't eat Maaser Sheni in the state of Tumah. You have to eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. But it's not kachim. It's not karbanos.
It's grain.
It's, right? It's grain and it's value of grain. It has regulations, but it's not kachim. And again, the Gemara is objecting to, what Marzusha is objecting to, is that we are trying to have a discussion in the world of Kachim, and you're bringing Maaser Sheni into the discussion. Right? So, Amalei, Amar Amra, Lamed Kodesh Amalamed Kodesh. Okay? Took me a while to figure out this line of Gemara. Rashi and Tosas both have extensive discussions in terms of what this line of Gemara means, and Tosfos actually has a discussion of what the girsa of this line of the Gemara is.
Who was it referring to?
Amar, the way Rashi explains, I'm going to go with Rashi. The way Rashi says it is like this. Amar, who says Lamed Kodesh or Malamed Kodesh? That both points have to be Kodesh. Meaning, you're making such an assumption that in order to have a discussion of Kachim, both the point we're going from and the point that we're going to both have to be kachim. I disagree. Right? It doesn't. That's not true. The point that you're learning to has to be kodesh. The point that you're learning from doesn't necessarily have to be kodesh. If I may, I'm going to give us like a lumdus way to understand this. Meaning, right now, what are we trying to establish? That when I buy my carbon toda, I can use my sersheni money. Right? To talk in lumdus terms. Is this a halacha in Maaser Sheni, or is this a halacha in a carbon toda? Right? Meaning, what's really the focal point over here? In the world of carbon toda, the Torah is telling me, and you could use Maaser Sheni money, but it's really a carbon toda halacha, or no? And really, it's a discussion of kachim, or no? Is this a Maaser Sheni halacha that when I have Maaser Sheni and I go to Yerushalayim and I can buy one of the things I can buy is a carbon toda? But it's really a Maaser Sheni halacha. So what Marzutra is saying is, it's a Maaser Sheni halacha. And if that's true, then it's taken away from our whole, you strip it from our whole discussion. Because we're having a Kachim talk. We're not having Maaser Sheni talk. And Rav Papa's argument is no. This is not a Maaser Sheni discussion. This is a Karban Toda discussion. Good. And it therefore remains in the discussion. Good. So now, right, so we're in round two. So we're going to go Gzera Shava to Hekesh. Rav Papa says it works. Okay. Marzusha disagrees. So on this issue, debatable. Next. Dabar. Hedy, you're not going to be happy. Dabar Halame Bigzera Shava Maushi Ilame Bigzera Shava. How about doing this? How about going Gzera Shava, Gzera Shava? Amir Rabbi Chamatanya. Sure you can. Look at the following halacha. Now, before we look at the following halacha, let's look at the following halacha. Okay, we are talking about the carbon toda. Right, we were just talking about the carbon toda. Carbon toda is a shlamim type animal. It is offered by the person who wants to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having saved his life. after going through a life-threatening experience, the Torah gives the person an avenue in which to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. It's a toda. Now, I say toda is like a shlamim. The Torah pretty much says it as well. The Torah basically puts it in the camp of shlamim, but it's a little bit different than your typical shlamim. Your typical shlamim has a two-day eating period. Your carbon toda only has a one-day, one-night eating period. Okay? Your typical shlamim has no loaves of bread coming along with it. Your toda, 40 loaves of bread coming with it. The 40 loaves of bread that come along with the carbon toda are made up of 10 loaves of four different types. Okay? And they are, now, I'm telling you all this because we need to know this in order to appreciate the Gemara's point. Imal toda yakrivenu, this is Parshat Sav, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis. Imal toda yakrivenu v'yikriv al zevach ha-toda chalos matzos bulos b'shemen. So you have your chalos, your standard chala. Chala, by the way, keep in mind when we start Menachos, you'll see this. It's all matzah. None of it's chametz. Now we Ashkenazim, we think of matzah. We think of the cardboard, right? Because that's how we make our matzah. Okay. They used to make matzah soft, thick. I know I'm going to make everyone upset right now, and it sounds right. Okay, good, fine. Pita. Like pita. Okay, so Yemenites still do it that way. I know. So v'yikriv al zevach toda chalos matzos b'los b'shemen urikike matzos meshuchim b'shemen. Urikike mean wafers. Those are the crackers. Solas murveches chalos. I'm sorry. Solas murveches chalos b'los b'shemen. And I'm going to call it bagels. You're not going to see bagels written anywhere over here. In the English, how does he translate it? Scalded fine flour mixed with oil. Okay, I'll call it bagels. Okay, you can you don't have to like that. All right, it's a little stretch. Al chalos lechem chametz yakrivu karbano, and 10 loaves of actual loaves of bread, chametz. Right, toda is one of those rare instances in the world of menachos that you actually bring chametz. Most of the time, no. Almost all the time, no. Except for the karban toda, and there's one other time where we bring chametz shavuos. Correct. Now, let's get through this. Okay, I know I have a little bit of a cushion because tomorrow's daf is super short, but still, let's get through this one. All right. Now, when we're talking about making our 40 loaves of bread, so you have to use solas. Solas is fine flour. It is insufficient to use just regular flour. Solas means it has to be fine flour. Now, if you listen to me carefully, I'm going to tell you that the Torah doesn't say that, but just one of the types of loaves of bread, right? The v'hikriv al zevach ha-toda chalos matzos b'los b'shemen, or ikike matzos meshuchim b'shemen, v'solas murbeches chalos b'lulos b'shemen. Only by the bagels does the Torah say solas. By the other two, and by the chala lechem, also doesn't mention solas. How do I know that every one of the four types of breads that come along with the carbon toda have to be made up of solas? Good. That's where the Brisa wants to know. Back to the Gemara. So it's a Gzeira Shava. It is a layered Gzeira Shava. It's a Gzeira Shava on top of Gzeira Shava. Davar halamei b'Gzeira Shava, marshalamei b'Gzeira Shava, amarami b'archama, tanya solas murveches, lamanu l'revucha, shabas solas, chalos minayin, tamalamar, chalos. So we have a Gzeira Shava that takes us to the regular chalos, meaning the 12 chalos on the Shulchan, where there the Torah says that they're made up of solas. And rekikin minayin, or how about the wafers? How do I know they have to be made up of the souls, the fine flour, tamalomer, matzos. So we have a gzereshava, matzos. So it seems to be a compound gzereshava, one on top of another. So amale rabbina meimayda matzos michalos gamar. You made an assumption that the matzah gzereshava is layered on top of the chala gzereshava. Maybe not. Dilma mimafet tanur gamar. Maybe that Gzeira Shava actually takes us back to the earlier time that the Torah talks about the mincha offering, mafet tanur, the oven baked mincha, where there the Torah says solas, maybe that's the gzera shava, and it's not a compound gzera shava. So from here we do not see that you can layer a gzera shava on top of another gzera shava. Ela marava, tanya. So we're going to do one more for today. So we're looking for where the Torah tells us that you can layer a gzera shava on top of another one. We're going to get it from here, tanya.
So from this first example, did he prove that?
No, because we don't know that this gzera shava is a compound. Meaning it could be that the second gzera shava the Gemara quoted is actually not a compound, but rather a gzera shava generated from a different source altogether. Okay. V'kirbob u'pirshov v'hotzi. When it comes to your par halam davar, it's one of the chatos ha'pnimios, which means you sprinkle the blood inside and you do not take the animal and offer it on top of the mizbeach, but you take it and you burn it outside of the azara, outside of the courtyard. The kirbo upirso v'otzi. And you take all of the animal and you burn the entire animal. It's all of its intestines and even the peris. Peris is the excrement inside of the intestines. You don't have to flush out the intestines. You burn the thing in its entirety. Malamish masir shalem. Now, when you take it out, you don't cut it up inside in the azara. You take the whole thing out. Yachol yisrafenu shalem, which then would lead me to a very, would seem to lead me down a logical conclusion, which is burn it whole. Right? If I take it out whole, sounds like when I burn it, I have to burn it whole. So nemar kan rosho v'karav, v'nemar lahalan rosho ukraav, malahalan ayidei nituach, afkan ayidei nituach. Okay? Gzera shava tells us, no, that oddly enough, before I burn it, I have to cut it up into pieces, like I cut up an ola into pieces. Okay? Even though it is a little bit odd, I'm cutting it up only to burn the whole thing, but still, I cut it and I burn it. Now, ima lahalan b'hafshet afkan nami b'hafshet, now, by the ola, we know there's something called hefshet. I have to strip the skin off the animal. I have to flay the animal. Right? So maybe on my par halam davar and on my par kohen gadol, same thing. I got to flay the animal. So in other words, I got to flay and cut the animal just like I do with my ola. Tamal amar v'kirbo perso u'pirsho. Ma tamud amar apapak shim shepirsho v'kirbo kach b'saro be'oro. So the Gemara says no. Because what is the Torah telling us by telling us that I have to burn the excrement? It means that even though it's in its casing, right? It's wrapped up in the intestine, it's contained. Nevertheless, the Torah says burn it. Same thing is true with the meat of the animal. The meat is also in a casing. Mm-hmm. Casing is the hide of the animal. Keep it in the casing. Good. The Tanya. So far what we have now is established Gzera Shava. That when it comes to my par halam davar, my par kohen gadol, what I need to do is I need to take it out whole, cut it into pieces, and burn it in pieces, but not flay. V'tanya, Rabbi Omer Nemar Kan Ur Basar Uperesh, Menemar Lahalan Ur Basar Uperesh, Malahalan Ayidei Nituach Shelo Behefshet, Avkan Ayidei Nituach Shelo Behefshet. And Rabbi, what he does is he designs a gzera shava on top of a gzera shava. So just like I do this for the par halam davar, I also do this for the par and the seir of Yom Kippur. And how do I know that? Gzera shava. So I have a gzera shava that teaches me the halacha, that I take it out whole, cut it and burn it, and now I have another gzera shava that tells me that this is true for the par of Yom Kippur. So I have a compound gzera shava.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Didn't you say that gzera shava is always Torah, Moshe,
yeah.
So how could even
right.
say Gezer?
Right. I'm going to rephrase the question because I had a similar question. Meaning, if Gezer Shavas are not
already established,
right? Already established. So it would seem to be that the answer to this question is just a simple yes or no.
Right.
Not a well. You see over here. Right. It should just simply be either we have a tradition or we don't have a tradition.
Right.
Okay, I'm just repackaging your question. I don't have an answer. Okay, and I'm not even sure if I did a better job repackaging your question. So, okay, good. All right, we'll stop over here. We are in the middle of round two. Okay, so we our first round was Hekesh. We did a round of Hekesh. We're doing a round of Zera Shuffle. We're in the middle of round two. And hopefully no one's out. No one got knocked out. We're all good. Tomorrow.
Call